this past week has been, I guess I might say, a glorious week for me. I think all of us have times in our lives when things seem sort of heavenly on earth, kind of celestial. You get glimpses into what the eternities are about, what God's purposes are. It's been one of those kind of weeks for me. It all started last Saturday when our daughter Elizabeth and her husband Martin Neal and their two-year-old son Gregory came to visit us. They live in Cupertino, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay area. Marty's the one I told you about a couple of weeks ago, who was kind of a courter. You like to come and see your daughter. He's the one that tell you when he'd bring her home and all this, that, and the other. Come in nice and polite and talk to the family and whatnot. Family is an important ingredient of the Lord's plan, and we certainly had an enjoyable time with them being here. Then another event of this past week, on Tuesday evening at about 8:45, our daughter Virginia, who's been on an 18-month mission in Scotland, arrived at the Salt Lake Airport. So, seeing a member of the family who'd been away for 18 months was a rather glorious experience. And then, of course, we've been hearing things about her mission since she came home. So it's been a really nice time as far as family is concerned. Then there was an event that happened just 2 days before Virginia arrived home from her mission. But there was an event that seemed to me to bring the gospel into focus. And events of this nature are kind of difficult to talk about. So sometimes the feelings that you get concerning your Heavenly Father and the gospel plan and all that that entails, you'll get glimpses of that every once in a while that reaffirm your faith in things, make your testimony much firmer and much stronger, and you have what can be at an instant a kind of a personal revelation, and you'll have these things as you go through life. And I had one such experience. I guess it was just one day before Virginia came home. It was last Monday. And I'll try and relate the experience to you. Sometimes, you know, the experiences only fit for you, and it's hard to make them fit for others just because we go through life following different patterns, different courses, different experiences that we have. Make some experiences more meaningful to us than they would be for others. Well, Charlotte and I just got over to the BYU post office to pick up my mail. They have that 3-minute parking limit there, you know, under the Wilkinson Center, and you can't leave the car unattended, so I just said to Charlotte, come on over. Besides that, I was all dirty from working around the house. Didn't want to go in the Wilkinson Center, so I says, come on, Charlotte, go over to BYU and I'll park while you go in and get my mail at the post office box over there. Well, when we came back and we started up Lambert Lane, there was a white van parked there in front of our house, and we saw a young man who had a tremendous bouquet of roses in a rather large vase, and he's holding them like this. He was walking down our sloping sidewalk down to Freeze, and he went over into Freeze, and while looking up the street, he was ringing the doorbell at Freeze, and we just commented to each other, hey, must be just a Freeze wedding anniversary or something. So then we went in our house, and just about 3 minutes later, our front doorbell rang. And I went to the door, and here was that same guy with that same bouquet of roses. I said, well, what you doing here? I just I'm over to Freeze. And he says, flowers for Mrs. Hall. Well, heck, things went through my brain. Let's see, it's not our anniversary. Did I ever, you can put a blanket order in, at a florist to bring flowers on birthdays and whatnot, and they never forget, even though you forget. I thought, well, let's see, I don't think I did anything like that. Flowers for Mrs. Hall, who could they be from? I decided they sure certainly weren't for me, so I says, okay, in the meantime, Charlotte had come to the door. So I signed for the flowers, and the guy went off. And Charlotte and I said, my word, who are these from? And we hollered downstairs, come on up, you've got some tremendous bouquet of red roses. And while she was coming up, we couldn't resist taking the card out from the bouquet to see who the dickens was sending my wife roses. That just seemed awfully unusual. Well, this is what the card said, and on reading this was the, I have to give the background later on, but it was on the instance of reading this that I just got this sudden flash of well-being and being connected, with the eternities. And whatever there was of love and any celestial quality, I was aware of all these things. Family, service, training, sacrifice, faith, love, temple, preparation, missionaries, genealogy. Just in a flash, I just had this personal revelation that all is here. The kingdom is here, and we get glimpses of it, and we have our own little heaven on earth. Well, this is what that said. And it brought immediate tears to my eyes and also to Charlotte's, because she also recognized the significance of this. The little card with the roses just said, our love and thoughts be with you forever. And then it said who it was from, the Burneys, and then it said Scotland. Well, the Burneys happened to be a family that Virginia had been instrumental in converting to the gospel recently. And they, Scotland is a hard place to do much good. It's pretty hard to win converts in Scotland. But this family, you see, were so grateful, and not only to Virginia for bringing them the gospel, but to her mother, to my wife. Now, they don't make a lot of money over there. Their houses are about a quarter of the size of ours. They're smaller. They live in little tiny rooms. They don't have nearly the things that we have. There were 13 long-stemmed roses in there, plus a beautiful vase. Plus, what the cost of the phone call is from Scotland to the United States is about $12. I figure there must have been about $35 tied up in that. And I doubt that this family makes more than $100 a month. So you see, they really went all out in an expression of their gratitude that my wife had raised a daughter who was willing to go on a mission and had come over there and converted them. Well, now, there are similar experiences that all of you will have like that when you're on your mission. Somebody will be so grateful to you and to your parents and to others. See, there's a long chain of events. None of us ever stand alone. We just never stand alone. Well,
the troops are in.
Two casualties.
That's what happens when you smart off the lorry free.
What happened to your arm?
Oh, Nephi got a hold of me.
Nephi's really a butcher, I'll tell you.
He is. I know Nephi. He really gets going.
Well, did you hear the news? He hurt himself.
Oh, did he?
An eye. We didn't hear the details of the accident, but the doctor thinks the damage.
George hit him, cut him there.
Was there
and it ripped his pupil.
He bumped into a door, is that
yeah.
Right? Well, that's good. He's supposed to take my stitches out tomorrow.
So the bishop in our opening exercises this morning, I asked families to, they're going to administer to them sometime around 12:30 to 1 o'clock, and he asked the families to hold a family prayer for him. Is he just fixing up your arm from some prior problem?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that fixes it up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it fixed me up, yeah.
How's your leg?
I still got it surgery.
You're still carrying a bullet, huh?
Yeah.
Dr. Chad. No.
Nah. Oh, you got the cat right there.
Well, as I was saying, it's kind of hard to stand alone. We depend on other people. They depend on us. For a guy to say, I'm free as a bird, and, you know, I'm completely independent, it's pretty hard to do. It's always a large, long chain of events influencing many people. Now, this missionary work is a service. There are all kinds of services that can be rendered to others and people who render services to us. What we want to talk about this morning is service. There's a BYU entrance motto down there on 12th North. What end of the BYU was it, say?
And to learn, go forth to serve.
Sure does.
Oh, what else are you talking?
Yeah,
more advice to tell us in service.
There to learn, go forth. I like this one better than the one that says the world is our campus. I mean, that's kind of bragging, you know. Maybe it is in a way, but what the heck. It's most of BYU is 600 acres right here in Provo, and the rest of the world is quite a bit bigger than that. But this one I really like. You know, they had a slogan contest a number of years ago for those two signs. And I don't know who came up with them, but the person, there was a slight prize of $10 or something. The person that came up with this one, I think, really came up with it.
Yeah, it's about the same price.
Now, there are no end of references to the idea of service in the scriptures. I've written some down here, and I'd like to have some of you read them. Let's just arbitrarily pass these out. Let's see. Let's let our group leader read the one in the...
I don't have my glasses.
Can't see without them, huh?
Really?
He doesn't wear glasses.
I do.
You liar, Ray.
I do. I wear glasses.
Sunglasses.
Go ahead, laugh. Your mother all had a good one when she saw you guys, too. So.
John, read this DMC.
Maybe not yet, but what good it looked up. Let's see, we have a Messiah one. How about you, down here.
Just told the book crossing.
And, you've already got yours, that's good. You read the one of James. You look like a good candidate. You look up this first Matthew reference. You can read without glasses. I've seen you do it. You can shoot a squirrel at 300 yards without you can read the book.
Which one?
The first one, Matthew 25. You look up Matthew 6. And I guess that's all of them that I have up there.
Before season.
All right, now.
Hey, Rick. Hey. About a $500 weather they got. Yeah.
Now, this is me, you know, this is you and I here, and I got to put a column here. We are served by, and then we're going to say, we serve.
31 to 46.
Ooh. All right, who has rendered some kind of service for us? Anybody?
The government.
No, we're serving ourselves.
You mean to us personally?
Yeah, or
the bishop.
Others.
The bishop is serving.
The bishop.
Brother Hall.
Brother Hall.
Yeah, include it in the general category and say maybe teachers and advisors or somebody. Teachers.
That's an important one.
Glad you brought that one up.
Parents.
Much as we may not think so, as we get older, we appreciate that one more and more.
Around 60 or 70.
Andrew's doctor set in at around 2022. Who else?
Brad. The church has done a service for us.
Friends, yeah, we could say God says the church.
Community.
The community,
all they do is suck your money.
Hospital does a service for you.
Okay. How about some specific people that may stand out in your mind as
FBI.
Having
this decision?
Your dad's good. What'd your dad say? Take care of your mom. He said, "Eat ice cream and watch the FBI."
No, he'll let him. Your dad let him borrow his badge and he'll go up to some chick. You know, FBI, you're under arrest.
Step in the car.
How about? I'll do anything.
Okay.
Think religiously and put something in there. You've already done that, but put in some more.
Christ has done a great service for us.
Right. Gee, Rod.
That was hard.
Prophet.
How about George?
You're not here today.
I like George. Last name was Washington.
Burn that Washington. How about Noah?
I thought, yeah, okay, yeah.
Noah would have drowned.
How about Nixon?
Well, darn, you know, as far as other things, I think maybe he did.
How about Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve did us a service.
Country together.
What's that?
Adam and Eve did us a service.
Adam and Eve. Hey, this list could really get long, couldn't it? Noah.
Well, everyone does services for other people.
Except for you, Rod.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, I suppose when you have family prayer, the head of the household seems to get longer and longer in his prayers and more and more things. He's alive with Grandpa Hall. You know, not a good kind of a laugh, you know. I mean, we appreciated him, but boy, he'd start out, you know, and he'd bless all the general authorities, and he'd name all of them. All the time of the 12, the South President, the 70s, the State President, his counselors, and the bishop and his counselors, and whatnot. And then they'd say certain phrases. And I've seen this before. I've seen other men do that. When you're young, you think, oh, get it over with you. Well, the kids notice in me that I say certain things too, but they didn't really do mean them. I will usually thank the Lord for patriots and for janitors. That's a phrase of mine. Patriots and for janitors. Well, that's pretty general, you know.
When you get a little older, Dad.
You know, your parents, your grandparents, all those who went before, and the heritage that they brought to you. Like the first one who joined the church. That happened to be my dad.
He's the first one to join the church.
Yeah, on my side. But on my mother's side, it goes way back to Bill's slave time, young girl, 16.
Well, we're grateful to those. I may perform the service, you know, that came clear down through the generations. And, okay. Now, over here, we got to get in the act. Up until your age, we're mainly being served. You know, parents are changing their diapers and all that sort of thing. But as we progress along, we get more and more opportunity to... A baby's completely helpless. He's served completely. Oh, in a way, you know, they have... Unless I can list a young 2-year-old kid, I guess he played with it. Our grandson all week long, just having a ball, you know. In fact, he's rendering a service to us, I guess. They made us feel good to play with little kid, you know how that goes. But in the main, we're being served, but as we gain in age, we can start serving others. And I'm sure that by the time you reach priest age, you're rendering a lot of service to others. But 2-3 more years, you'll be rendering more service than you are now. Well, who do we serve?
Neighbors.
Neighbors.
All right, you serve neighbors. Okay. I want you to name one way.
Shoveling snow.
One way that you have to, you serve my pig, you know.
Letting him have the privilege to live next door to us.
Yeah, that's a privilege.
You probably have shoveled my snow, haven't you?
Not very often.
Not very often. You shovel up the walk a little ways past your boundary line onto my sidewalk?
No, he's got a mow clear up there. You never mow all the way down.
Yeah, okay.
That's Jim's fault.
By the time Doug mows down from his end over my line and you mow up from the other end, then I don't have as much to mow.
All he has to do is get his
clothes. Oh, I do, sir. I'm always tromping through those bushes to make a shortcut here.
Well, I'm sure.
Not in the past couple of years.
I'm sure that there's been... Kelly's dad raises cantaloupes out there instead of a lawn, you know, so every year we can count on some of the best cantaloupes in town. And just yesterday, his mom brought over hot rolls. Great big...
Now, then she made the rolls and baked her out.
Didn't you get it?
No, I got a big plate and some sweet rolls.
Oh, man. Yeah, they were really good. Man, I walked to church with her this morning. I didn't even thank her for them. I thanked her for the time she brought them over, but I forgot to tell her how good they were.
Paid to be a cripple.
Okay, neighbors, who else?
Lovely.
Everyone on the other side that we've already named.
How are you profiting Christ? By sinning?
No. By trying to keep his commandments and him trying to convert others to his gospel.
Well, that's good. That's right. I mean, that's starting to get sophisticated in your thinking.
Good thing you wore a tie to church today, Robert. I can't hold on.
All right.
What about your loved ones?
The same list, I think.
Your loved ones and relatives.
Which, well, I'll include relatives in that too, baby.
Come on, Tyler, say FBI. Yes, you do a service for the FBI by paying their dollars and keeping them in business.
Yeah, you are.
No, by volunteering information of the 10 most wanted men.
By planting your fingerprints in high school. Do they do that nowadays?
No.
You're 30, I guess we're more modern than that.
Pretty well suspect.
In 1937, when I graduated from high school in Ogden, they came around... The FBI came around the end of the school day, last day of school, and said, "It's just voluntary. Don't have to do it, but we'd like all your fingerprints."
Tough crowd.
Some guy said,
"That's crowding your rights. That's stupid."
Well, that's what people think nowadays. See, so they won't do it. But people said, "Why? I'm not going to be a criminal." And the FBI says, "Yeah, but you might be in an accident sometime. You may need to be identified, etc., etc." That's the thing they played up.
Did you give your fingerprints?
Yeah, I gave. Most of the guys did.
Yeah, be a stud, man. Get your
they just wanted to throw their little ring pad out on.
No, it has to be a stud, right? You see your fingerprints, take me a stud.
Tell us about it, Tyler.
Well, yeah, we
you got to go on a slave, Tyler. Everybody in the household, the FBI, you got your fingerprints.
Tyler's dad fingerprints everybody in the family, so.
Come on, Tyler, everyone's fingerprint.
Tyler made a fingerprint.
Okay, the cookies were taken out of the kitchen last night, and we got fingerprints, and.
Oh, fingerprints on the icebox.
Go ahead and put the woman to read Mosiah 2:17. Read the whole verse.
Okay. And behold, I tell you these things, that you may grow and receive the payment, that when you are in the service of your fellow, you can draw your service as well.
Where you heard that before?
That's the MIA thing this year.
Yeah, that's right, dude. That's right.
This year.
Let me read it to him again.
Okay.
This year.
This year.
This year's theme, and I don't know what to call MIA, I guess it's activities nine.
Is that erotic priesthood MIA?
Oh, MIA, no, it's.
I don't think it's MIA anymore, that word's out.
Erotic priesthood out?
This is the theme for this year, so we'll be saying it every Tuesday night. It's Mosiah 2:17, and behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom. That ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. Well, that's part of what our new youth program is about. And we hope your leaders here get some service projects that we follow through on this year. Now,
leaders, where?
You may recall that last year we had a couple service projects, and I don't believe we got through any of them.
What were they?
Well, the closest we got, I guess we sort of got to one. We did go sing some Christmas carols out to a rest home out here, but that's, you know, that's not a rest home.
I never heard about it.
Not a very good field.
I never heard about it.
Well, I know. There's some people that live on Stadium Avenue.
Some old folks
by the name of
Hans.
They had to walk my son.
Those guys wear lawnmowers, you know. They probably got it has to do it.
Well, we'd give you a couple hours if you'd go down there and mow it. We could make sure you get your awards.
Yeah, chuck them up well for hours.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's on the program for this year. S-E-R-V-I-C-E-I.
What are we going to do this year?
I hope we can come up with some good ones. Let's read a few more of these, and then it'll be time to quit. Tyler, will you read the one that you had, please?
What doth it profit, my brother, and the old man say he hath faith, have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone.
I thought you memorized that one, Tyler.
I did.
Tyler.
Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?
I thought you memorized that one.
Okay, Brother Brown, read the one.
Let's hear you say it. I got one.
Stop. Take heed that you do not your own poor man receive of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do them not. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as hypocrites do in the synagogue, in the street. They may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thou alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms be in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward them all.
Okay, thanks. Brother Free, why don't you read the one we've heard?
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
Okay, thank you. Service to man
is equal to service to God.
Let's see, are you the only one we have heard from?
Yeah, I think so. Read this to me and see. Now behold, the marvelous work is not to come forth. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, all ye that ye embark in a service of service of God, see that ye serve him with all your might, heart, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at last day. Therefore, if ye have tried to serve God, ye are called to work. To the work.
Okay, you serve God, serve him with your whole strength. All right, now, with regard to service, here is the hardest thing, to do it in secret. See, if you do it openly, you got your reward right here, just like the scripture said. Sometimes you can't do it in secret. It's open public knowledge that you've done something. But I think you'll have to admit to yourself, as I must admit to myself, if I'm real generous and give the BYU $100 donation, you know, I sort of want to...
Well, like pressed on a berry.
Yeah, or on something over.
So he goes over there with Magic Marker.
Thanks, Tracy Hummel.
See, I give them $500 and they put my name on a football stadium seat, you know, and that sort of thing.
But who do you want to put on a seat? Donated by secret.
but it's hard. It really is. Like I say, if I give the BYU $100, I want President Oaks to know about it. You know, that kind of an attitude is hard to get away from. It really is. But the scriptures definitely say it in many places that if you're going to be of service, do it quietly and in the background, and don't boast about it. And that really truly is hard to do. That is a hard thing to do. But I sure advise it. You do your good deed and no one needs to know about it. You may not even get thanked for it. Let me read some lesson here. It puts it kind of simple. Good. Service in the scriptural sense is motivated by love of God and means to help some other person without a desire to be paid or even thanked. And you'll find that's true. You may render a service to some people and they may slap you in the face, so to speak. But one has to learn in going through life, if you're going to live a good, God-like, Christian-like life, that you just have to take that. And don't let it dampen your enthusiasm for wanting to continue to render service, perhaps even to that person. If you keep at it long enough, you just may be able to change their attitude, and then they come around to thank you. So this is a strong point with service, gospel service. It's not always possible to do it in secret, but when it is, when it just naturally can be in secret, let it be that way. Don't brag about it. Don't tell about it. That's the way that the Lord wants it to be done. Any of you have anything you'd like to say about a service? Got any personal experiences that might be interesting to us?
It ought to be to non-members as well as members.
Especially.
That's a good point, particularly where we live. It's hard to do sometimes because they don't enter into our society, and it's hard. Take our good brother across the street, Felker. Your dad has really tried, you know, for years and years to sort of be a buddy and fellowship, but it's really hard to do.
Brother Felker does it.
It's not Brother Felker, it's Mr. Felker.
Everyone's a brother, David.
No, he's not a brother in the church, so
But he's your brother.
But when you speak of brothers and sisters, you're talking about fellow members of the church.
Well,
that's not true.
He's my brother.
That's
he's
true.
My brother too.
He's my sister.
Well,
okay, John.
Brad Gardner.
Would you please not part with a closing prayer?
Our only Father, thank you for coming to Christian community this morning. I'm thankful for the lesson that I've all given us today. We bless we can all work and save us and take it for what you're destined, not for the glory of others who do the same. Please pray and bless the grass and we'll be back to you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm going to go to the lids and pray to you.